There is an absolute risk of famine across the Sahel, particularly Niger, Mali, Chad, Burkina Faso. You have in those countries already rates of some levels of malnutrition of 40%, and you have in this planting season and this agricultural season some serious deficits in production that will exacerbate an already precarious situation, and we have a risk of high levels of famine without significant intervention by the governments and the international community.
Now, it's the third time in a decade that drought and hunger have hit the Sahel region, particularly Niger. Do you think we're destined to see this become a recurring problem?
Well, it's clear that it's a recurring problem. We have not found significant solutions to the climatic situation there and the inability of the small farmer to produce enough food during seasons of very poor rainfall. We have not found enough economic activity to overcome the deficits in cereals that are a result of these poor rainfall seasons. So it looks like it's going to continue. There's in regards to climate change, it appears that it may be exacerbating in these years.
And what, for you, were some of the most disturbing signs or evidence of this looming hunger crisis? I mean, did you see many clearly malnourished children? Can you paint a picture, if you will, for our listeners?
Well, you know, I was there about a fortnight ago and visited some villages in Niger, Tolkobe and Sangare, and sat and talked with the elders and the women. And I was particularly disturbed by the accounts by the women of how little food they currently have for their children. They're down to two meals a day. Breakfast is very light at this point. In another month, it'll be one meal a day. Children were lurking in the background, very silent, looking quite nutritionally compromised in these particular villages. So it was very disturbing. Also, when we looked at some of the schools already, we had seen children who had left school, began to migrate with their parents, or just didn't have the energy anymore to go to school. So that's very disturbing.
And how did you find the mood of the afflicted people when you spoke to them, you know, through an interpreter? What sort of stories were they telling you that brought home the plight that they're facing?
Well, you have to remember, first of all, these are very dignified people. They cope every year with problems of one sort or another in regards to their animals or their cereal production. So they try and stay positive, but the mood was that essentially one person said, we cannot wait for three or four moons before we get aid. If the government and the international helping community waits to help us out, we will die. So the mood was dire in the short-term predictions of what will happen without assistance.
Do you think the international community is going to respond in a sufficient way? Because when it came to the Horn of Africa and the humanitarian crisis there, it was reported that many donors waited until people started actually dying before they responded with aid. Is there a risk of that same delay happening here with this emergency in the Sahel?
Well, I'm hopeful that donors will respond quickly. As you mentioned earlier, the Sahel does have chronic issues in regards to cereal production and food production. The early warning systems are quite refined. Already assessments have been done. We've been able, you know, the community and the governments to go out almost village by village. And so the assessments have been done and the appeals have been launched. Recently in Niger, the government and the United Nations and the NGOs launched their appeal. So in regards to the funding partners, the government and the individuals across the world and in the United States and Europe that give, the data is clearly there and it's time to offer support.
If there was a severe delay, could we be looking at a humanitarian crisis as big as that we saw in the Horn of Africa last summer?
Well, certainly we can. The crisis in the Horn, of course, was exacerbated by the insecurity in Somalia and the inability of organizations to get in and work. This is certainly a different situation. We do have insecurity in the Sahel, increasingly related to the events in Libya. Many of the young men fighting in Libya have come down into the Sahel, into their countries, and in fact are causing some problems of banditry on roads and inhibiting some accessibility, but not to the extent that we saw in Somalia. We should generally have access to the populations, or they will be able to come out. So we should be able to, with sufficient resources, access populations, set up malnourished centers for children. We should be able to get food to villages or to subsidize food that they can purchase. There's no reason that access, as in the case of East Africa, should inhibit this response.
You don't fear the risk of what's known as famine fatigue among donors, given that this crisis comes so hot on the heels of the Horn of Africa one?
Of course, there is, in a sense, at least in Europe and in the United States, a recession. People are pressed themselves. Families are pressed. It'll just be a time. Governments are debating their own expenditures. I mean, this is not a good time to have a famine and a bad situation in Sahel. However, we are a community of solidarity, and I expect that people and governments will reach into their pockets, even as they themselves are increasingly depleted of their resources. They'll reach in and they will be generous.
And what is Catholic Relief Services doing there? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we are currently preparing programs that will subsidize food for the worst-off communities. In other words, we'll help to get food from regions that have produced into those communities. We'll begin distributing cash or vouchers to families that will subsidize purchase. Already the markets are weakening, prices are rising, so that's what we would do in the short term, in the next few months. As we come closer to what's hoped for the rainy season, then we will begin to probably get into some food for work programs. So there would be actually distributions of food, and we would begin to distribute seeds and subsidize seed purchase for families that could purchase, distribute to others, and we would encourage then activities that would begin to allow people to plant for the next season.
And what about longer-term structural solutions to tackle the underlying causes of these recurrent droughts? Is CRS and other aid agencies also going to be trying to do this?
Yes, we're all very engaged in activities with villagers that will help them cope, that will help them be more resilient. One of the activities that we and others are involved in is off-season gardening, helping villages to capture water when there is rain. This year, it's a bit of a problem. The wells are not full. The wells have been depleted. Water catchment is not high. But when there is good rain after the season, you can harvest that water and do some irrigation programs for vegetables and even an off-season crop. That's one of the main activities that we can do to help these villagers become more resilient, help them harvest the water that they have and use it to continue to grow food off-season.
In the meantime, how do you predict that the coming weeks and months will play out for the people of Niger in these worst-affected areas?
Well, I think we're going to see, certainly, unfortunately, some deterioration. I'm sure that malnutrition rates will increase. The governments and organizations specialized in health will set up centers where children can come to recuperate. You'll start to see that. Hopefully it will be maintained and controlled, and we will be able to prevent death and save lives. That's critical. You'll probably see some migration into the cities where people will beg for food. This will happen in a number of the cities. You'll see families move. Unfortunately, this year, you're not going to see people moving out of the country into Nigeria or Ivory Coast. Insecurity in those countries, is certainly in Nigeria for the people in Niger, is preventing them from moving and working. this is contributing to the problem. So you're going to have more people than usual in need of assistance due to some of the surrounding regional difficulties also.